Scott. It's the Extension 720. I'm Justin Kaufman here on 720 WGN for the 8 o'clock hour. Let's talk politics. The runoff election is coming up here on April 2nd. And we need to know who to vote for. And you know what? That goes from mayor's race. That goes all the way down to the alderman and everything in between. So we have brought in studio Heather Sharone and A.D. Quigg from the Daily Line. They cover all things Chicago politics. It is great to see you guys. Thanks for being here.
Happy to be here.
Thanks for having us.
We did together for the Download podcast the 50 wards in 50 minutes to right before the February 26th election.
Awesome.
It was so much fun. We rattled off every single race. It was absolutely stunning, the amount, the wealth of information the two of you had. So I'm happy to have you back so we could talk more about the runoff races that are in play. Let's start with the mayor's race. Of course, as we get closer, we are within a week from election night, and tonight there was another debate, and continues to be debate after debate after debate. But it seems the polls that are coming out are favoring Lori Lightfoot over Tony Preckwinkle. What do you make of this? That the polls not only are favoring her, but seem to have it in large quantity. I mean, the polls are kind of a blowout at this point.
Right. There's no sort of demographic segment of Chicago that Lori Lightfoot isn't leading at this point. She's leading sort of on the bungalow belt. She's leading downtown. She's leading on the south side. She's leading on the west side. She's leading among union members. You know, it's a potential that if the polls are right, she could enter office, which, you know, with what I'm sure she will claim to be a very significant mandate to make some pretty significant changes.
And really, AD, this is something that she's run on from the get-go. At first, it was sort of an anti-Rahm Emanuel campaign that turned into an anti-establishment campaign and seemed to be energized by what happened to Alderman Ed Burke.
Right. So she kind of came in as an outsider saying, I'm here to take on Rahm Emanuel. He appointed me to head the police board, and I'm here to criticize his entire tenure, particularly on policing and how he has treated all neighborhoods outside of the loop. And she's managed to capitalize on several events, most notably the federal charge against Alderman Ed Burke for corruption. She and Ed Burke have never gotten along. I can remember like a lot of budget hearings where the two kind of went head to head, and has said, you know, I'm not tied to anyone. I'm not of the machine, but I also know government, and I'm a competent attorney who can run this city without being beholden to anyone.
And it's amazing, too, because we were all covering it at that time, but you remember the waffling of all the candidates at that time, because they needed to say that they weren't with Ed Burke, but they needed to keep Ed Burke close. And there was these statements, even from Tony Preckwinkle, the Cook County Board President, that because she was involved in that didn't make any sense. But Lori Lightfoot came out right away and was like, this can't stand. I'm going to sweep this stuff out. And it seems to have stuck as really the mantra for her campaign.
That's right. You know, she didn't have to do what Tony Preckwinkle had to do, which was to explain why she held a fundraiser and took in $116,000 at Ed Burke's house. She didn't have to explain how she helped Ed Burke Jr. get a job at the county. And she didn't have to explain sort of, you know, really decades of working within the system to, you know, make changes where she couldn't. There's no argument that Tony Preckwinkle did exactly that. But that's a more complicated story to tell then I'm an outsider and I can come in and clean it up. And I also think that Lori Lightfoot benefited by Paul Vallis, who literally walked around City Hall with a broom for several weeks and, you know, sort of really sort of hammered home that message of City Hall is dirty, it's corrupt, it needs to be cleaned out. And I think, unfortunately for Paul Vallis, is that what people decided is that they wanted Lori Lightfoot to do that.
Yeah, it's been interesting watching this go from months ago, this will be a race, a mandate on Rahm Emanuel's two terms. Then Rahm Emanuel gets out, and then we're kind of thinking, what is this going to be about? And then Ed Burke happens, and this becomes a mandate on ethics, the machine, and a fresh perspective.
To be fair to Tony Preckwinkle, if Susana Mendoza made the runoff, if Gary Chico made the runoff, if Bill Daley made the runoff, all possible candidates that could have made the runoff, they'd be answering the same questions about their affiliation to Ed Burke. That's how powerful and connected that alderman is. So, yeah, here's my question. We've been doing a lot of these community conversations in the neighborhoods, and a lot of this conversation has around this mayor's race has been about corruption, right? It's been about sweeping out corruption. A lot of the neighborhoods feel like there's other issues that are on the table that aren't being addressed. that doesn't seem like we're getting there. We're not talking about violence in Chicago. That was a big issue that we thought would be the issue for this election. It's really gets mentioned fifth or sixth. I mean, ridiculously, the last two debates, the first three questions were about Jussie Smollett. And I get the concept that that's political, but it seems like the substantive issues that people want to talk about in Chicago aren't being talked about in this race.
So there's no doubt that this has been a light on policy election, which breaks our hearts over at the Daily Line, because there's nothing that we like better than writing about policy. But the fact of the matter is, except for a few areas, Tony Preckwinkle and Lori Lightfoot agree on a lot of issues, which means that the arguments are at the margins, like how best to achieve more affordable housing, how best to hold, you know, police accountable for misconduct. That's, like I said, a more difficult argument to have. You know, the other thing is that a lot of the big issues facing the city, like violence, like the massive pension debt, are not easily solvable. So they don't lend themselves to snappy, here's what I'm going to do.
Right.
So it's been more of a question of who do you sort of trust and like more to handle these questions.
AD, let me ask you this too, because this sentiment also was brought up in the communities, this not vote. And you see this a little bit in the law and order communities in the town, where it's not necessarily a vote for one of the candidates, but it's a vote against another. And it seems
anybody but.
And yeah, we saw this play out in 2016, the presidential election, and there seems to be more of that happening every single time we have an election. But how is that playing out when it comes to this mayoral election?
I think it's playing out a bit in endorsements, as well as in the law enforcement community, except for first responders who have angled toward Lightfoot. We saw firefighters angle toward Lightfoot because they said she knows we need new rigs. She worked at OEMC. She understands what we need. But you're seeing quite a few political types angle away from Preckwinkle, possibly because of past conflict,
mm-hmm.
I'll say. Not everyone gets along with Tony Preckwinkle. It's politics. You have fights with people. You have
you don't make it to the top of the Cook County Democrats by playing nice.
Exactly. Right. I'm curious to see how this plays out in the vote. I mean, the first round we had 14 folks, and even then there were people who were like, I don't like any of these people. So now that they have a clearer choice, I'm curious to see, number one, if turnout goes up or down.
Right, right.
In 2015, it went up in the runoff between Rahm Emanuel and Chuy Garcia. And if people seem energized, if Lori Lightfoot does go in, if she wins, with a big popular mandate.
Yeah, It's intriguing to me. And the last thing we'll talk about in the race is just, you know, we've seen it get pretty nasty in the last couple of weeks. We saw Bobby Rush on stage talking about if there's any police misconduct, that any of the blood is on Lori Lightfoot's hands, whatever that means. And then there continues to be this sort of opposition research that it continues to come from the Preckwinkle camp about Lori Lightfoot's tenure as a reformer as opposed to a progressive. What do we make of all this? Because there may be some kernels of truth, because I do believe that Lori Lightfoot is running as a progressive, but you could look at some of the things that she's done in the past and head scratch if you are a progressive and say, that doesn't really fall in line with my values.
Yeah, you've seen some in the police abolition community, a lot of activists with Black Lives Matter and the NBYP 100 say, we can't vote for Lori Lightfoot, she's a cop, because she did work in the Chicago Police Department's Office of Professional Standards, also worked on the police board, and they argued...
Former federal prosecutor,
and they argued didn't take enough action against cops accused of wrongdoing, particularly Dante Servin, who retired before his case got up in front of the police board. That is the one area where we have seen Tony Preckwinkle try to draw distinctions.
Yeah, and, you know, and the other thing is that when you have two progressive candidates, it's a different kind of race when you have somebody that's on sort of the right side of the party and sort of the left side of the party. That's, you can draw clear distinctions. You know, there are clear distinctions between somebody like Bill Daley and Tony Preckwinkle, or Bill Daley and Lori Lightfoot. It, like I said, it's more difficult when you have people who sort of agree on the broad strokes of policy, but disagree perhaps on how to get there.
Yeah, right. That's the thread in the needle, right?
If you go read their public safety platforms on both of their websites, which I encourage everyone to go look at websites and look at platforms.
Homework. You've got homework, people.
They're very similar. It's very stunning. So I guess it really is down to style and the path they came to power.
All right, let's get to the nitty gritty, the aldermanic races. We also have a treasurer's runoff as well. We'll talk about that. But the aldermanic races are why we're here, to get to the 15 races that are in runoff. We'll take a quick break here on Extension 720. We'll come back with Adi Quigg and Heather Cherone from the Daily Line to break down the races coming up here on April 2nd. Stay with us. Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I am Justin Kaufman in studio, Heather Cherone and Adi Quigg from the Daily Line. It's time to go round the horn with the 15 runoff races for aldermen in town. I am so excited about this. I think I was excited about this the minute election night ended. I was like, Adi and Heather will come back in.
Some runoffs,
we'll
yeah.
talk about the runoffs. All right, so let's get right to it. There are 15 races of the 50 that ran off, and let's start with the 5th Ward. The 5th Ward, the south side of Chicago, Hyde Park, South Shore.
Obama Presidential Center.
The Obama Presidential yes. Center. Leslie Harrison and Will Calloway. What do we know about these guys?
Okay, I have a full sheet full of stats. It's got the percentage that they got in the general, cash on hand, and if they're an incumbent, the year they were elected. Leslie Harrison, 48% in the general, $200,000 on hand. She was first elected in 1999. Will Calloway, just over 25%, only $5,000 cash on hand. So
now he's running a campaign where he's not taking any corporation money. He's almost running a campaign finance type campaign where he said, you know, I'm not taking any money from anybody because I don't want to be beholden. And he's really pointing to that as an issue in the ward, saying my opponent will take money from anybody.
Yeah, developers, corporate interests, stuff like that. Will Calloway is known for being one of the lead forces behind the release of the Laquan McDonald mm-hmm. video, running on police accountability, and kind of being a progressive alternative and a fresh voice in the ward, because Leslie Hairston has been there for a very long time.
Now, this is also an area that is the Obama Presidential Center. It's in Jackson Park. There has been some static over this because, of course, there's a federal lawsuit of whether or not it's even going to happen. But more importantly, there's community benefits agreement at the core here where Will Calloway says he wants the Obama Center to sign it. Leslie Harrison says, I'll do whatever the Obama Center wants me to do. This really is where they're breaking down.
That's more or less. She'll tell you that she's not against a CBA,
right.
But she would say that, you know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and you don't want to let the perfect be the enemy of the good. You know, the issue is that Leslie Harrison is a member of the Progressive Caucus. However, she's one of those aldermen who works a lot behind the scenes, so she doesn't cast a lot of, or any really, high-profile anti-Rahm Emanuel votes. Mm-hmm. And this is a bad year to not have a big vote that you can point to and say, I opposed Rahm Emanuel. And you know, that might be part of what, you know, forced her into a runoff.
She's going to run on, and she has been running on, the idea that she has brought business to the South Shore. Not just necessarily Hyde Park, because Hyde Park is 53rd Street and the university. That's all in there as well. But when you go down to South Shore, they're fighting over a grocery store,
yes.
which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But she's looking at the old Dominick's on Jeffrey that is, you know, has been empty for 6 years, and she's got someone coming in there.
Right, with $11 million in tax increment financing money. So, I mean, that's a, you know, a nice chunk of public subsidy change, but it tells you sort of the issues that are that's facing that sort of ward with the disinvestment. I mean, that was the only Dominick's to still be vacant at this point after the Dominick's closed, it feels like, last century.
And you'll hear this from a lot of aldermen that, particularly in areas with difficulty attracting business, that it does them a lot of good to work with whoever is the mayor, because it helps them bring in big developments in somewhat risky areas.
Okay, so the 5th Ward is, of course, we go up the chain, it'd be the 6th Ward,
right.
Roderick Sawyer, the chair of the African-American, the Black Caucus in the city council. A runoff, but he was, I mean, we're talking about percentage points, right?
No, three votes.
Three votes, and he would have avoided a runoff. Yes, he's at 49.97% in the general. This is an interesting race because he's another alderman who is on the Progressive Caucus, but also voted with Rahm Emanuel 100% in the last 2 years or so, and has said the reason is because he's figured out a better way to work with him. He says, I go back and I help the Emanuel administration edit ordinances in a way that is more progressive, that will get more support from the city council, and in a way that is ultimately good. We're getting things done. His challenger is Deborah Foster Bonner, an accountant who is based in Chatham, where Sawyer did the worst.
Mm-hmm.
And she says she just wants to increase communication in the ward. She helped manage Richard Wooten's campaign in 2015, who challenged Sawyer. Wooten ran again. They ran against each other, but she won't get into what was the cause of their breakup. Mm. She got 31% of the vote.
Okay.
The other issue there is the Target that closed. So at the same time that the Target closed, the two Southside stores, they got a nice chunk of public subsidy money to open up a new store on the far northwest side right off the Edens Expressway, just past the junction. And that made a lot of Sixth Ward residents really, really angry.
We went to Chatham as part of our neighborhood tour. And yeah, the Target was top of mind. The other thing that Kathy Cheney told us, she lives in Chatham, was that there seems to be not necessarily a flight, like, you know, the main overwhelming story in Chicago, African Americans leaving. But she talked about that it's becoming more of a transient ward, meaning it used to be homes in a middle class black community, and now it's a lot of rental properties. And they look to the aldermen about sort of, you know, keeping that stable, or it's becoming unstable in that ward. So
yeah, I talked to Deborah Foster Bonner about that. She's like, I grew up here, and I used to be able to walk down 71st no problem when I was a kid. Now these kids in the ward kind of live with an underlying tension and fear. And we've got guys on the corner without jobs. We need economic development. And what Sawyer has said is about the Target specifically was, there's something exciting coming to that space. I can't say much about it, but something is coming. And we're also bringing a Chicago Cook Workforce Partnership location to the ward as well.
Maybe a Dominic's. Bring that back. All right, well, let's get one more in before we take a break for the news. What do we got? What's the next one would be
15th.
We're moving up the chain. I love it. 15th.
Raymond Lopez and Rafael Yanez, a fun rematch of 2015.
Okay, so what do we know about this one? Now, Raymond Lopez, he is a there's a lot of violence in this area. That's in the 15th ward.
It's
that's
a really
big
interesting
issue there.
Gerrymandered
right?
ward that kind of stretches from Back of the Yards down to Englewood,
yes.
Brighton Park.
Yeah. And not too long ago, there was a series of high-profile rifle shootings in the 15th Ward. And Raymond Lopez sort of went in front of the cameras and said, well, I'm glad no innocent lives were lost. And I think, like, in one shooting, four people were killed. And that angered a lot of people. It angered a lot of people to the point where the police had to assign a detail to protect him because there were threats made by area gangs. So he has really staked out a law and order, you know, we're going to sort of, you know, crack down on the gangs and the graffiti and that sort of thing. Interestingly enough, Rafa Yanez is a Chicago police officer. So,
he's running to Lopez's left.
Right, who's running to Lopez's left. And Lopez has also been a rock solid 100% ally of Mayor Rahm Emanuel, who just happens to be his biggest campaign donor.
The mayor has given a lot of money in the last couple of weeks to some of the people that that supported him during the council. The no ally left behind. But early on, Alderman Lopez was targeted as someone who was vulnerable. He got to the runoff. Does it look like he could be vulnerable?
Well,
in this
he was one where we weren't quite sure if he would make it just above the threshold. He ended with 49.7% of the vote.
So he's going to...
Generally, we think if you're above 45, you have a pretty good shot of surviving, but, you know, it's Chicago.
All right, we've only gotten through three. We still have 12 more to go. Got to speed this up. A.D. Quigg and Heather Sharon are in studio tonight on Extension 720. 312-981-7200. If you have a question about your ward, we'll get to the remaining 12 wards coming up here after the news, so stay with us.
From the corner of State and Madison, I cry. Folks glanced over, but none broke their stride. That's when I found
it's Extension 720.
This town,
this town.
On its own.
Talking about the aldermanic races coming up here, the runoff. In studio, Heather Sharon and A.D. Quigg, 312-981-7200. Coming up, Scott Goldstein's going to be here. We're going to play That Used to Be. I've got addresses, and all you have to do is call up, and I'll give you those addresses. If you can guess what that used to be, you get a prize. Is that not the best idea for a game show?
I'd be terrible at it, but I bet Heather would rock.
I think I can hold my own.
Come on, how many times you go past? I said earlier in the show, we were getting sound today. We were at Belmont and Clark. And they have that
Dunkin' Donuts.
Right. They have the monster Target there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Punkin' Donuts. 80, come on.
Yeah.
But they have the monster Target there. That was where that Dunkin' Donuts was. And I stopped people who probably in their 30s. And I'd be like, can you tell me what that Target was? And they're like, no. It's a Target. It's been a Target the whole time I've been here. And I'm like, what do you mean?
Totally.
How could that be? How could? And I said this earlier. I was giving them history lessons. They were so annoyed with me. We went from man on the street producer to, let me tell you, what
man
it used
yelling
to be,
on the street.
Yeah. but the punk kids used to come here, and this used to be a Dunkin' Donuts.
They had dogs as well.
Well, it will never not break my heart that the Barge Sun-Times building is no longer there.
Yes,
because
that's a good address,
you know,
yeah.
I traveled through downtown as a high school student, and I would always look at the Sun-Times, and it was never, you know, sorry, Tribune colleagues, it was never really the Tribune I dreamt about working for because they were the paper of the suburbs, but it was, you know, the gritty Sun-Times building.
Would that be 401 Wabash? Because that's
401 West Wabash.
Well, yeah, that's the North Wabash. That would be the that'd be the Trump Tower, right?
Yes.
There you go. All right, let's keep going here. Let's keep going. We're trying to get through the 15 races for aldermen in the runoff coming up here on Tuesday. Let's travel to the 16th ward. The 16th ward is next. What do we know about the 16th?
16th is another gerrymandered ward that includes part of Englewood. Where Toni Foulkes used to represent was the 15th ward, and then she got mapped out. She came in second place to Stephanie Coleman, who is the daughter of Shirley Coleman,
wow,
the former 16th
yes,
ward
of course.
Alderman. So Stephanie Coleman is now...
Name recognition.
Yes. High name recognition. She's also the Democratic committee woman for the 16th ward, and she works for Cook County Commissioner Dennis Deere over on the other side of the building.
Is there is there any better race when a committee man and an alderman get at it?
That's the best.
Like, that's the best when the two of them. That's just like a power struggle to end all power struggles.
Absolutely.
And that's a great, that is a good Chicago story right there, because Shirley Coleman, longtime alderman there, Toni Foulkes, which gets she gets credit. She's a progressive caucus as well.
Absolutely.
And she gets credit for bringing that Whole Foods to 63rd Street. She's part
of that. That's actually David Moore's ward in the 17th ward.
Absolutely.
That's
but
the thing
this
about
is a long,
Englewood,
that, there are six different aldermen that touch Englewood.
Correct.
But Toni Foulkes was a part of bringing that there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just interesting because you could, it's what have you done for me lately versus the old school name of Coleman. That's a very interesting. Let's keep going. 20th ward. 20th ward.
Open
Where's
seat.
Willie Cochran? What happened to Willie?
He is. He had to resign.
He
resigned when he pled guilty to one count of wire fraud.
Now, he went back and forth, right? He recanted his guilty plea, then he went back to guilty plea. He's been all over, but now it is. We know it's done.
It's done.
Guilty. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
So now there'd be fresh face in the 20th ward.
Yes.
So,
either Jeanette Taylor or Nicole Johnson, and both of them got less than 30% of the vote. There were nine candidates in the 20th ward. It was a really interesting open seat race. Another district, another ward that touches the Obama Presidential Center, so it'll be a big deal there.
Okay, let's keep going. 21st ward, this is Howard Brookins' ward. Howard Brookins always seems to be in a runoff.
This is another rematch with Martin McNeil.
Yes.
And
Marvin McNeil.
Marvin, sorry. You know, it's also one of those wards that, you know, is sort of pieced together with different neighborhoods. And Brookins is interesting because he's chairman of the Education Committee, which doesn't meet all that often or do really all that much, but it gives him a nice perch to sort of be able to run for, you know, another term. Probably the most media attention he got was when the FBI raided Ed Burke's next door office to him, and he came out and told reporters that it was the FBI.
I was going to say, so he was first elected in 2003. He doesn't make it in the news a lot, but he did when a squirrel
that's the best story
ran
ever
into the spokes of his bike,
yes,
and he crashed his bike and injured his face terribly.
But the real story is that days before that happened, he had railed during a budget hearing
about
squirrels eating up garbage cans.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was with DNA Info at the time, and I called my editor, and I said, I think we need to write the story. And he laughed so hard, I thought he was going to have a heart attack.
So Revenge of the Squirrels.
Yeah, Revenge of the Squirrels, but Alderman Brookins in the 21st.
He was another one who got 45% of the vote, so we generally think he's in pretty good shape.
All right, let's go to the 25th ward. Now, this is Danny Solis's ward. This is an open seat. What do we know about the 25th?
So it's Byron Sigcho Lopez, who's one of the Democratic Socialists of America, who's running for the city council, one of five. And he is facing Alex Acevedo, who is a nurse and community organizer. And
the son of former state rep Eddie Acevedo.
Interesting, okay.
Right, so it's sort of the establishment versus up-and-coming sort of very progressive, very left you know, vision of the ward. And what's interesting about the 25th is that it's Pilsen, but it's also the South Loop. So this is where the 78 new neighborhood would be built, as well as people in Pilsen are sort of coping with that gentrification and displacement.
The 25th ward is everywhere. This is just like the 27th ward. It's parts of West Loop. Yeah,
and it's
I mean, obviously, we talk to all these wards. They have different constituent needs, but those are very diverse constituent needs for the 25th ward.
This is an interesting one where we're seeing some super PACs get involved, largely, actually entirely backing Alex Acevedo. So we'll see if that extra money pouring in kind of helps. Both of them are evenly matched in terms of their own fundraising.
High-profile one here in the 30th ward, longtime alderman Ariel Reboiras versus newcomer Jessica Gutierrez, daughter of Luis Gutierrez. This is one that was surprising in the runoff in the way that Reboiras seemed very vulnerable.
Yes.
Yeah, so he is the chairman of the Public Safety Committee, and he has really had to wear the jacket for Rahm Emanuel's efforts to reform the Chicago Police Department. And he has been blocking for nine months, a vote on a proposal that was part of the reforms it put in place after the Laquan McDonald scandal to establish civilian oversight of the police department. And he has just refused to hold a vote on really proposals that have a significant amount of support on the city council.
Now, the 30th ward is
Northwest side
is Belmont and Central, and but a big time Latino power center. And Reboiras has been in line with, like you said, he's been obviously an ally to the mayor, but at one point an ally to Luis Gutierrez, who's Chuy Garcia. Like he has been a part of the unit, and so it's really interesting to see that Gutierrez's daughter, they've kind of put up against him. This seems like a lot of friends and enemies happening on the 30th ward.
Yeah, I spoke to him about it, and he views it as a massive betrayal, and that he didn't necessarily do anything wrong to deserve this. It's not like he ran someone against someone else in another ward.
Signing petitions for Luis Gutierrez in his career, all that kind of stuff.
This would not have gone to a runoff had it not been for this third candidate. So both Reboiras and Gutierrez ended up with like 48% of the vote. So it was really close going in, and it's another high dollar race where these PACs aligned with Rahm Emanuel are spending heavily on Reboiras.
That's going to be one to watch. 31st ward. This is Millie Santiago and Felix Cardona. What do we know about this one?
So Millie Santiago is a former television reporter who has only had one term on the city council. And her opponent is an ally of a former Cook County assessor, Joe Berrios. And he sort of came up through the Berrios organization. Santiago won her seat by ousting another Berrios ally. So this is a little bit, it's not a rematch, but it's sort of an organizational rematch.
Yes, and Santiago has been aligned with the Arroyo family for a very long time, and she's also getting help from Alderman Gilbert Villegas, who was unopposed last
term. Now, we're talking politics, not mob families. It sounds like all these families and
they're
these names. It's very, but very interesting. Okay, we'll take our break here. When we come back, we've got the 33rd, the 39th, and then 40th, 43rd, 46th, and 47th, and we'll wrap up there. But let's take a break so we can get to that. We're covering the aldermanic runoffs here on Extension 720 tonight. Heather Sharone, 80 Quig, we'll be back. Stay with us. Great night tonight here in Extension 720. Always good when Heather and AD are in studio to talk about Chicago politics. The aldermanic races for runoff, April 2nd. We're trying to get through all 15 tonight, and we're almost there. Let's go to the 33rd ward, Deb Mell. Deb Mell, who ran off last time, was that right?
Yes,
or she was
yes.
really close? Yeah, she ran off.
350 votes separating her and Tim Meegan.
Right, and so this time around, she runs off again.
Yes, with someone who grew out of Tim Meegan's organization, Rosana Rodriguez Sanchez, another DSA-affiliated candidate.
And so this is another race, much like the mayor's race, where it's sort of arguing about who's more progressive.
Yes.
And Deb Mell, of course, is the daughter of former Alderman Richard Mell, who, you know, is a longtime machine guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she has to sort of, you know, cope with that baggage.
Yeah, I would, if I were her, I would just keep playing the footage of him jumping up on the desk after Harold Washington died. And just let the cards fall where they fall. I think I would be like, I'll vote for her. Just by the fact of what your dad jumped up on a desk. That's what I would do, but I'm not her campaign.
So Mel has twice as much money as her, but they both ended up with about 42% of the vote. So this was very evenly matched going in, and another one where PACs are getting involved.
All right, let's keep going. 39th ward.
Robert Murphy and Samantha Nugent. So Robert Murphy is the Democratic committee person in the area, and he expected to be running against Alderman Margaret Lorino, who is one of the last standing, you know, sort of members of the great Chicago political dynasty of the Lorinos. She replaced her dad as alderman in 1994. Yeah. Her dad was first elected in 1965. So that's a dynasty. So Robert Murphy is endorsed by people like Fritz Kagi, the new Cook County assessor, and Representative Jesus Chuy Garcia. So he's running from the progressive side of the Democratic Party, whereas Samantha Nugent has the support of John D'Amico, who is Alderman Lorino's nephew.
Wow,
and is
such
also
great names.
A state representative.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, you know, Lorino is officially neutral, but I don't think that anybody isn't aware that Sam Nugent would, you know, sort of carry on that sort of establishment, sort of
ward services centrist kind of
focus on public safety type stuff.
Yes, 39th ward. How about that? 40th ward. Now, this is a good one because this is the floor leader, Rahm Emanuel's floor leader, Pat O'Connor, who is in a runoff, surprisingly, probably for the first time in his political career against Andre Vasquez, who is a newcomer, his first time coming through. But this is tighter than you would think. But Alderman O'Connor, I was looking at his record. He ran unopposed up until 2015. This is brand new territory
this
for
is
him.
This is the fight of his life. This is one of the most expensive races this cycle, including mayor and treasurer and the 43rd ward, which we'll get to. But yeah, he's in the fight of his life against Andre Vasquez and was in a deep field of folks basically challenging O'Connor for being part of the machine. O'Connor's been around since 1983, has raised...
Famously part of the Block 29.
Right, the Joliak 29, yes. And has, you know, $780,000 cash on hand, and Rahm Emanuel...
wait, say that again. $780,000?
Cash on hand.
Cash on hand.
Which, that doesn't
count...
For
an aldermanic race.
Yes, that doesn't count what he has spent already in this race, nor does it count...
What do you do? Just
mail, TV... Canvassers.
If you're Ed Burke, you buy beanies for everybody with a Chicago flag.
Just putting like little gold flakes on the flyers. Sure. I mean, geez, that's a lot of money.
Yes. Andre Vasquez, another DSA affiliated candidate, also a underground rapper in his youth. O'Connor has gone after him for some homophobic and
anti-woman
lyrics from his old rap days, which he has apologized for and said, "I will focus on the LGBT community and defending women."
It's amazing too to think about that the forces there, because you have a Vasquez who should apologize for those lyrics. There's no doubt about it, but you have an O'Connor who politically in his history was essentially blocking a black mayor because. Well, he was a black mayor. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing to me to think that the dichotomy of what you have to apologize for in 2019.
Yeah.
Let's keep going. 43rd Ward, Lincoln Park.
Yes, Michelle Smith versus Derek Lindblom. And both of them, interestingly, are totally fine being tied with Mayor Rahm Emanuel.
That's
Lincoln Park for you. Lindblom was in Rahm's policy shop and then went on to run a tech-focused healthcare company. Michelle Smith has been in office since 2011 and is just facing a ton of heat for her vote to raise the property tax.
And she also, surprisingly, I mean, this might be election-itis, but opposes Lincoln Yard.
So she's been really sort of consistent on opposing the sort of the redevelopment of the North Branch of the Chicago River in a way that does not prioritize parkland because, you know, sort of Lincoln Park is now home to a lot of really wealthy families with young kids. And those young kids, she hears every day, don't have a park to play in. Because Lincoln Park, think about it, it is developed. There's not a lot of green space. So she's been working to preserve as much of that sort of formerly industrial land to be parkland and has sort of run into Rahm Emanuel's brick wall.
Mm. That's going to be a fascinating one.
Another super duper expensive one.
Now, Michelle Smith, she's credited for redeveloping the children's hospital there. That's like something she was
involved in. That's also been a really controversial project because that is, you know, a really sort of tough area to drive through. If you ever have to drive through there at rush hour, you know, that's not always pleasant. And she got a lot of heat for sort of allowing a more sort of dense and for retail development to be built there.
And this probably has nothing whatsoever to do with the alderman. But if you go down Lincoln Avenue there, and I'm just thinking of my own, and I'm sure a Lincoln Avenue address will pop up in our That Used to Be segment coming up here. But that there used to be shops and shops and shops and shops all the way from Sheffield down to Webster. Not so much anymore. A lot of vacant lots, and there's a lot of things.
Yeah. Brings up. He says, we should be having locally owned businesses filling a lot of these empty retail spaces on Halstead as well as Lincoln.
Again, I'm not sure that you can tie that to Smith. That just might be the economy. But 46th Ward, Uptown, James Kappelman.
My neighborhood.
This is your neighborhood?
Yes.
Alderman Kappelman against Marianne Lalonde. What do we know about this?
Marianne Lalonde is a chemist. This was another very crowded field against Kappelman, who's faced a lot of criticism for how he's handled development in the ward, how he's handled homelessness in the ward. I've gotten maybe 15 mailers from Kappelman saying, look at all we've done for park space, look at all we've done for neighborhood schools. This is another expensive one. I think Kappelman has $325,000 to Lalonde's $90,000. And he had 44% of the vote in the first round, but that's still quite a few people voting against him.
Yeah.
And he's been in, of course, the spotlight because he took over for Danny Solis after Danny Solis went MIA after being unmasked as a mole for the federal government and is now the chairman of the zoning committee. He tried and failed to delay a vote on Lincoln Yards. And I think that in some ways he got the worst of all worlds because he tried and I'm sure angered the mayor. And didn't actually have anything to show for it.
And Lalonde was able to say, you handle this just like you handle development on our ward. You don't stand up for Rahm Emanuel.
It's a really interesting race because Uptown is a changing area and there's a lot going on there. And our final one, the 47th Ward, the old Gene Shelter Ward. Mm-hmm. What do we know? I mean, this is an open seat.
Right, because this is Amaya Pawar's old seat. He's running for treasurer against Melissa Conyers Irving.
Thanks for getting that in.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm a pro. So it's Matt Martin versus Michael Negron. So Michael Negron is also a former Rahm Emanuel aide, and Rahm Emanuel has given him somewhere in the neighborhood of $30,000. And, of course, Rahm Emanuel, who will be private citizen Rahm Emanuel, lives in Ravenswood. So, you know, whoever wins will be the former mayor's alderman. And this is also sort of one of those high turnout, good government wanting wards.
High education voters.
Yeah. And the focus has been on sort of, you know, how do we deal with affordable housing? How do we deal with sort of the booming real estate prices? I mean, this was an area that when I was in high school was a little sketchy. You maybe don't want to walk through there right at night at Lincoln Square. Now it's like, well, let me leave my, you know, $30,000 stroller right here on the sidewalk and it'll be fine. So it's a changing ward too.
Yes, and we got through all the wards. All right. Ding, 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 ding. Yay. Yes, Heather Sharon and Andy Quigg in studio giving us the aldermanic runoff voting guide. You can, we'll take this, we'll put this on our website and you can take this with you. A tremendous night. And you got
please
one more?
Check out shy.vote if you are still undecided going in. We have information on the mayor's race, the treasurer's race, and all the aldermanic runoff.
Shy.vote. Heather Sharon, 80 quid. Great to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.